today as we come to the table.
How amazing to know that with the same love, first of all, he says that as the Father loved me, so I love you. That is the way that the Father loved Jesus. Jesus says, I love you that way. That's pretty amazing. That he loves us at all is pretty amazing. But then that he loves us as much as the Father loved him. That's what he's saying there. And the word here is a wonderful word. You know the word. It's the word agape, which is a self-sacrificing love. It means willing to lay yourself down for the other person, which you know Jesus did on the cross. So he's saying, look, the way that the Father lays himself down for me, I lay myself down for you. And later he's going to say, you need to lay yourself down for others. This is the kind of love that God wants us to have.
A potter looks at his old work, even with all the cracks and chips, and adores his creation. He reflects back on the time he spent crafting the jar and how the clay went from nothing to something truly special. In the same way, God the potter looks at you as his special creation, perfectly formed by his hands. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table. The Daily Bible Study Program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. Today, Pastor Mark teaches that despite all of your cracks, all of your insecurities, flaws, and mistakes, you're still loved by the God of the universe. And because he loves you so much, he sent his perfect son to die on the cross so that one day, all of those cracks would be made whole once again. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of John, chapter 15, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
John chapter 15, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for what you're going to say to us today, God, as we look at obedience and the fruit of obedience. I pray, God, you would open your word and open our hearts for what you want to say to us and make us receptive to hear it, receptive to see it. And once again, God, just do a work in us. God, obedience is so powerful in what you want to do in us and through us. So help us to grab this lesson today and burn it, Lord, burn it deep in our mind and deep in our heart as well. So God, again, you teach us by your spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. As we look at this passage here, the Lord is going to be talking about the fruit of obedience. And what we're going to see today is that obedience is an amazingly fruitful attribute. We will see Jesus say today that this one thing with God will keep us in his love, keep us filled with his joy, and actually make us his friend. It's amazing. These three things, as you look at what he's going to talk about today, being in his love, being filled with joy, being the friend of God, they're all contingent on obedience. Now, I'm not going to limit them all just to obedience because there are other factors that can affect our relationship with God, our joy in the Lord, and even our friendship with the Lord. But obedience is the primary factor. And this is where if God can get us as believers to understand that by obedience, we please the Lord and have the fullness of the Lord, we're going to grow as believers. That's the key, being obedient to the Lord. And the Lord's going to drive that home with all three of these aspects today because obedience is going to be the main factor in all of them. Love, joy, and friendship. All of them are great. All of them are something we all want. But often we find very, very difficult to come by. It's like the unencouraging dad who said to his son, Dad, nobody likes me. And his dad said, don't say that. Everyone hasn't met you yet. And so again, that's not very encouraging for a dad to say, right? But that's not what God says to us. God says, I not only love you, I chose you. And we're going to see that God chose us, which if you think I'm a failure, God couldn't love me, why I'm not? Look, I oftentimes wonder why I'm in the kingdom. I don't know if you've ever had those thoughts. Why did you save me, God? Why did you save me and not save that person and that person and that person? And I know they're not dead yet, so they may get saved. But I wonder why God saved me. And again, God has chosen us, we're going to see today, because he has anointed us and appointed us, not just for this earth now, but get this, for the kingdom to come. We talked about what's happening in the Middle East, and these are signs that the Lord will be coming back soon. The bottom line is, when the Lord does come back, he has something for you to do. You're going to be serving here on the earth for 1,000 years in some capacity for your King, Jesus Christ. You know, we've never served under a king in America. We come out of a nation, Britain, most of us do, where there was a king and our forefathers had a king. We don't know what it's like to have a king. Guess what? One day we're going to have a king, but he's going to be a righteous king who gave himself for us and gives himself for us and puts us first before himself and loves us. That's going to be a great king. And in the midst of that great king that we're all loving and enjoying, he's going to say, now you're over that realm, and you're over that realm, and you're over this, you know, and whatever, okay. And some of you again might be thinking, well, I'll be Sir Lose-a-Lot, right? That's whatever the case might be. Some of you see yourself that way. God says, no, I've chosen you because you're a winner. You are a winner. That's why you're in the kingdom. It's not about some exclusive club. Don't get me wrong. The door is open for all. But once you say yes, God makes you a winner in his kingdom. He uses you down here. He preps you and prepares you for what's going to happen in the kingdom, and he prepares you for what's going to be happening eternally. So understand this, it's not just 1,000 years that we're going to be ruling and reigning with the Lord. The Bible says he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth at the end of that 1,000 years that we'll be in for eternity. And he doesn't tell us very much about that. But I can tell you this, we're not going to be sitting around on clouds playing harps. We're not going to be bored going, wow, is this all, you know, I've done this for like 8 million years. What do y'all want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? You know, no, it's going to be exciting. It's going to be new. The Bible says God will be showing us new things throughout eternity. Isn't that awesome? And we're going to be a part of it, ruling and reigning with him. What's it going to be like? You know, we can only imagine what it's going to be like when we get there. And the thing is, this is prep school. You're being prepared right now, and you're going to get rewards based on what you do down here right now. And so, again, finding lasting love, lasting joy, and a true friend, that's a true value. That's a true treasure. We find all three in the Lord, and that's Jesus is going to tell us how to find that today. Now, we've all heard about having friends in high places. How much higher place can you have than the kingdom of God, than the ruler of all the universe? You know, it's interesting. You watch some people, just because of who they know, they can get things done. A guy was sharing with me just a couple of days ago. He said something he needed to get done and had to be approved of all these things, and all these people had to make these decisions, and they were telling him no. And he knew somebody, and he called that person up, and that person said, okay, somebody's going to call you here very shortly. He said in 15 minutes his phone rang, and they said, it's a done deal, and whatever you need, we're going to do for you. Now, that's the kind of friends I like to have, right? Down here. But guys, we have a friend like that in heaven that's even greater. He doesn't always work off our timetable. He doesn't always work within 15 minutes, so to speak. But this is the God that we serve and that we love. Now, something else we're going to see today is this. And that is, there's a difference between being a servant and a friend. A servant is someone that is in the household and they hear what's going on and they're connected to the family to a degree. But the family and or friends are the ones who are intimate and get the intimate information. Jesus is going to share today that it's possible to be a servant and be saved, but not be a friend. And yet what God desires for all of us is that we're not just servants, we are friends of God. If you're just a servant of the Lord today, God doesn't want it to stop there. He wants you to move on into friendship. But Mark, I thought that everyone was saved was a friend of God. Not according to what we're going to see Jesus say today. He's going to make a delineation between the disciples who were saved the first 3 years they walked with him, and they were friends later. Now, I'm already doing the whole message before we get there. So thank you for coming. Hope you enjoy today. We'll see you next. No, I'll again, stay on track, you know. But the bottom line is we're going to see that today. God wants us to be his friend, not just saved and a servant. He wants that friendship. And we've talked about that in the past. The Lord's going to touch on that again today. But also we need to realize this, you know, we're not simply friends with everyone. And you guys choose your friends, hopefully, very carefully. If you don't, you've run into a lot of trouble. Sometimes you pick the wrong friends and that leads you to a wrong direction. But the bottom line is, when you get someone who is a friend, it needs to be someone you trust. Look, we all have a lot of acquaintances, don't we? Everyone in this room has lots of acquaintances. How many friends do you have? That is people you can share your deepest thoughts with, your deepest heart with, somebody that you can trust that when you do that is going to guard it and protect it. Again, that's what true friendship is. And that's what we're going to see that we have with the Lord. And when we have that friendship, we're also going to see that the Lord says, when I know that I have friends that way, I will share things with them that others may not hear. You know, it's interesting. In Revelation, the Lord says that if we are faithful to him and a friend to him and follow him, he will share with us things that other people don't see. He calls it hidden manna. I don't know about you guys, but I like hidden manna. That's exciting to me. I want to know what's going on. When I see the Middle East, I want to know what's happening. I want to be a friend enough of God where God can move in my heart. You know, the Bible says that God will do nothing unless he reveals it to his servants, the prophets. Now, we don't have prophets today like the Old Testament. I know that. But there's still the gift of prophecy. And God still speaks prophetically to our hearts, which means God will show us things and speak to us things if we are his friend that even some in the church won't see. And we're going to see, sadly, I think even the majority of the Church of America has no idea what's going on in Syria right now. You guys do. But I'm telling you, the majority of the church doesn't. Prophecy is almost totally neglected. I don't know the numbers, but I know that we are a rare creature addressing prophecy and looking at it in Scripture. And I'm thankful to God that we're in a movement that does that because the insights are amazing, they're exciting, and they're comforting. And so to know what's going on. And so now the Lord jumps into this today. Remember what the setting is. This is that last evening before he's about to be crucified the next day. Carries on for quite some time, as we talked about, as far as what we're going to be covering on Sundays. And he's just covered being the vine, the true vine. And us being the branches. We covered that last week. Staying connected to the Lord. Now he jumps into love and joy and friendship. And again, obedience being the glue that holds it all together. Look at verse 9. Probably still teaching on the way to the garden. Or actually in the garden teaching now. We don't know. But notice what he says. Verse 9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Interesting. Stay in my love. How amazing to know that with the same love, first of all, he says that as the Father loved me, so I love you. That is the way that the Father loved Jesus. Jesus says, I love you that way. That's pretty amazing. That he loves us at all is pretty amazing. But then that he loves us as much as the Father loved him. That's what he's saying there. And the word here is a wonderful word. You know the word. It's the word agape, which is a self-sacrificing love. It means willing to lay yourself down for the other person, which you know Jesus did on the cross. So he's saying, look, the way that the Father lays himself down for me, I lay myself down for you. And later he's going to say, you need to lay yourself down for others. This is the kind of love that God wants us to have. And so we're to abide in him. And we'll get to more of what he means in that in just a moment. He says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Notice Jesus says, by keeping his commandments is how we abide in his love. That is, if you want to abide in God's love, the key is you have to obey him. And here's the first fruit that we'll look at today of obedience, the first benefit or fruit, and that is you'll stay in the love of God. If you're obedient, you'll stay in the love of God. That's how that works. Now, again, I don't want to give the impression here that God doesn't love you if you're not being obedient. The Bible says that God loves even the rebellious, so God loves everyone. But they're obviously here from what the Lord is saying is a different level of intimacy in that love, a different level of connection, a friendship rather than simply a servanthood or the fact that God loved the world so much that he died for it. This is something more intimate that he's talking about. He's saying, if you want that intimacy with me, you want that love that's going to make you close and fulfill your life and your heart, you need to obey me. You need to be obedient. Jesus said in John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Pretty clear. You love me? Do what I say. Keep my commandments. Yet how many people say they love the Lord, but they don't keep his commandments and they don't obey him? Now here comes challenge time for us right at this moment. Let me ask you this right now. Would you say that you love the Lord, yet you know there's something in your life that you're willfully doing that is wrong and you don't plan on stopping it? The Bible says if you do that, you don't really love the Lord. Now that's a hard pill to swallow. You mean if I'm willfully doing something I know is wrong and I make up my mind I'm going to continue in it, I don't love the Lord? That's exactly what Jesus just said. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Now, this is very different from the person who says, you know what? I know this is wrong and I'm tortured that this is wrong. I want to be free. I don't like this. Pray for me. I want to be delivered. That's not what he's talking about here. He's not saying that person doesn't love him. They're in a battle. Their desire is to obey. What he's talking about is the person who doesn't desire to obey. They just want to live their own life. He says, if that's the case, then you don't really love the Lord. Because he says, if you love me, you'll obey me. And so there's a difference and a delineation there that we have to make. And notice he goes on and says, these things I've spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Now we come to the second benefit or the second fruit of obedience, and that is joy. Jesus says here, the key to joy in our life is once again, what? Obedience. Notice this pattern. If you want to have God's full love in your life, obedience. You want to have God's full joy in your life, obedience. And so there's a key here that he wants us to grab onto. If we want that joy, the answer is obedience to the Lord. And notice, not just joy, it's a full joy. Now, that doesn't mean that we're always happy. That doesn't mean that we don't have bad days and things aren't hard. What it means is there's an underlying joy in our heart that resides there and bubbles there all the time, regardless of what's happening on the outside. It's the hope that we have in the Lord. It's the hope of a future with the Lord. The question is, do we lack that joy today? Did we have the joy and we lose it? I'm not saying that necessarily means that you're not being obedient. There may be other factors in that. But one factor that he points out here, which is a major foundational factor, obedience. Obedience. If you've lost your joy, let me ask you, are you being obedient to the Lord? If you feel like you're disconnected from the love of God, let me ask you, are you being obedient to the Lord? These are key foundations for these things to take place, and yet these are also great promises that God says, I'll do it, and your joy will be full. How many of you like full joy? I do. And again, not this fake thing where we have to pretend you're happy all the time. It's a true joy in the Lord that he gives if we walk in that obedience. He says, this is my commandment, that you love and or agape one another as I have loved or agaped you. That is, loved you self-sacrificingly. And we know that he did that because his life that he lived, but even on the cross. He says, I want you to love each other that same way. The same way that I loved you, I want you to love others. And this is a really challenging high call, because when the Lord says, I want you to agape others as I have agaped you, how did he agape us? He died for us on a cross. Well, that doesn't mean that we're supposed to go to a cross and die for each other. Jesus already did that. But what it means is that we should be willing to lay ourselves down for others. This is a high standard of love. I mean, the world has their definition of love. This is a much higher standard of love that the Lord gives here. And yet it's something that's only done by the power of the Holy Spirit, but can be done by the power of the Holy Spirit as we ask God, as we pray to God and ask him to do this in us. Notice he goes on to talk about this love. He says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Again, notice mentioning of friends here. We'll get to a further delineation of what friends are in just a second. But this is the measure of the greatest love that we could have one for another. Probably one of the most famous verses. There's several verses in the Bible that even unbelievers know. This would be one of them usually. No man has greater love than this, than you lay down your life for your friend. Because that shows a true sacrificial love. That's what love is, sacrificing, laying yourself down for others. And not just limited to physical sacrifice, but in other ways as well. And he says, you are my friends if, note this, he's speaking to the disciples. Let's get the foundation here. He's speaking to disciples who are already saved. They already know him. They are the 11 closest followers in the world of Christ. I'm leaving Judas out. And he says this to them, you're my friends if you do whatever. Two words I want you to note there, if and whatever. If you do whatever I command. Wow. First of all, we see that just because we're saved doesn't mean we're a friend, as we talked about. But secondly, if we're going to be a friend, we have to do what? Whatever the Lord tells us to. See, that can be scary for some of you, because right now you're saying, God's going to tell me to go, and I've heard this one over and over. You're going to go to the jungle and live with bugs, you know, or whatever. That's your call. You're not even going to share the gospel. You're just going to go to the jungle and live with bugs. Now get going. And so you live in a tent and it rains all the time and the tent leaks and all the bugs walk around. That's what God's, so if you give your life completely, that's what's going to happen. That's not what God's going to do to you. God says if you seek the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Seek first the kingdom. All these things will be added to you. So the bottom line is that when you say, God, whatever you want me to do, don't be afraid of that. Because whatever he wants you to do is what's going to make you the happiest and most fulfilled. And so whatever it is, be sure, say, God, I'll do that. But this is the contingency of this. You want to be my friend? It's got to be obedience, and it's got to be whatever I tell you. This is a challenge and a high call, but we can answer this by the power of the Spirit. And this is what God is calling us to. But again, it brings us to the third benefit, and I don't want to miss this, although we've already covered the verse, the third benefit or fruit of obedience, and that is we become a friend of God. Okay, so maybe you're saying, well, am I not just a friend of God? We already talked about it. Look, if you're saved, you're a servant of God, but are you a friend of God? And both need to be there, the servanthood and the friendship. And again, now we're going to see that delineation more clearly here in verse 15. Listen to what he says. No longer do I call you a servant, for a servant does not know what his master's doing, but I've called you friends, for all things that I hear from my Father, I've made known to you. Notice this, no longer. What does that mean? That means before this, he was calling them servants. He even gave them the whole parable of the unprofitable servant. He was teaching them servanthood first, which has got to be there. We're called to be servants. But now he's saying, now look, now I'm about to go to the cross. I'm going to lay my life down for you. I'm going to give you an example of how you lay your life down for me and for others. And if you do that, now you're going to become a friend. If you die to yourself and for others' sake, the way I'm doing for you, you're going to cross from just being a servant in the body of Christ to a friend of the Lord. Guys, I want that. And I know you want that. I want to be his friend. Again, when there's somebody, you know, I wish I was friends with that person. Or I wish I knew what was going on. If you're friends with this, you have the inside scoop or whatever. That's what being a friend of the Lord is. He gives you the inside scoop. He says things to you, that hidden manna that others don't hear. And there's that intimacy. That's my desire. I want that intimacy. I want that closeness with the Lord. I know you guys want that as well. And he says, now, you're not just servants. You're going to be friends now, because you're going to be doing what I've asked you to do. And I'm going to make known to you all things that the Father shows, that the Master. Now, again, this is interesting to me because he gives another benefit here of being a friend or a servant of the Lord, and that is this. Again, not only does it require obedience, but notice the benefit of being a friend over being a servant. Jesus said he will let us in on what the Father or what God, what the Master is doing. Think about that. What the Master is doing. That is, we get to hear things, again, as I said, that others don't always get to hear. Sadly, I believe there's a lot of Christian servants that don't get that. Listen, when you pick your friends, you share only with those friends the deepest things you want to share with them. God's the same way. We're all a part of his family. We're all servants. He wants to share everything that he has available to share, but it's only those who are intimate enough to hear it that get to hear it all. And so God is saying, I want to give this to you. I want to share more with you. I want you to have more insight. But sadly, a lot of Christian servants in the church today that are saved and going to heaven, that's it. They're not friends of God because they're not moving on in the Lord. Now, again, I'm not saying that you necessarily have to be a friend of God to know what's going on in the Middle East, but it does bring that point up right now, because the majority of the church today, you may be surprised by me saying this, but the majority of the church today does not look into prophecy. And usually what you hear is prophecy doesn't matter. We don't need to be looking at prophecy. That means a third of the Bible doesn't matter? No, it all matters. Every bit of it. Jesus said, I'm the Word. He said that in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Which part of Jesus do we want to leave out? Which part of Jesus do we not want? I want him all. And I know you guys want him all. And again, because they leave parts of it out. Again, I think about even the situation here, what's going on in the Middle East. How many Christians really know that something prophetic is going on in Syria? How many know that? You'd be surprised to find out the majority of the church doesn't. How many prophetically knows that we're to be watching Russia and Iran? You'd be surprised how many people prophetically don't know that or don't even believe that. They're servants, but they're not friends of the Lord. The question is, are you his friend? See, am I his friend? That's the question. Are we friends of God?
You've just been listening to Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. We're currently going through the Gospel Book of John. If you're new to the faith, John is a great place to start. You learn of such fundamental truths about who Jesus is and what he's done for each and every person. Jesus was even willing to meet with a Pharisee late at night to further explain who he was and what his purpose in coming was. Jesus talked with Nicodemus about being born again. All of this was referring to a spiritual rebirth that he was offering to this man and everyone else who would ever live. What an invitation. John 3:16 was spoken during this meetup, where Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Have you accepted this invitation from Jesus? We hope that this message has brought some clarity to what it means to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus. If you have any questions about the things you've heard today, would you give us a call? Our number is 865-609-1385. Once again, that number is 865-609-1385. In addition, you can let us know about any questions you might have by going to our website and finding the questions or comments link. Our website is thewaymedia.net. Come to the Table is a ministry based out of Calvary, Knoxville. If you find yourself traveling through, staying in, or residing in Knoxville, Tennessee, we hope you'll come visit us at Calvary, Knoxville. Service times can be found at thewaymedia.net. Just scroll to the bottom to find a link to Calvary, Knoxville. That's all we have for today on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary, Knoxville.